Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the wonderful work that you do in us. Father, we thank you because you renew us each and every day. We are renewed by your Spirit. We are renewed for the purpose of what you've called us to do. Now, Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that we shall always have the eternal perspective in our hearts, in our minds, and shall not be drawn to the temporary pleasures that this world offers. Now, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, because in so doing, we shall all know our purpose and we shall all pursue it. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now you see, Luke 21:36 says, Watch therefore. And pray always. Somebody say, watch therefore. And pray always. Say it again. And pray sometimes. Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, of course, this was Jesus speaking about his return, the whole context. But he's talking here to people who are actually his disciples and telling them that you should watch therefore and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things which are to come to pass. Now, of course, if Jesus thinks that the things that have come to pass are so profound that you must watch and pray always for you to be able to escape them, then you know that the watching, which you're doing by coming here and getting, you know, the knowledge of the times we are living in, is just a part of the equation. Because the truth is, knowledge alone cannot save you. Do you understand? Knowledge arms you for the time. But there's something which the Bible calls the time of evil. Okay? There's such a thing as the time of evil. And it says that you must be prepared for it. And now, in as much as in this era, we are going to see a time of glory unlike any other, there is also going to be a time of evil unlike any other. You understand? Because this is the final stand of the enemy to try and do so many things. So, the glory is there, but there's also going to be... Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, I think. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Somebody say the evil day. Now, there's good days and then there's evil days. And what you do in the good days determines how you will handle the evil days. Evil days can be a day of extreme temptation or something thereabout, where if you're not prepared, and if it finds you ill-prepared, you will be hammered. Praise the Lord. But then if it finds you prepared, you know that this is an evil day, but you somehow pass by it and it does not affect you. Okay? Now, go to the next verse. Stand therefore, having guarded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know all these things, eh? Okay? And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, I want you to see that standing up for the evil day involves you being prepared for the gospel of peace. Now, here is where, this is not just go and preach the gospel. This is, if actually you go and preach the gospel, that prepares you for the evil day, for your evil day. Now, we'll come back here, but let's first go to verse 8. Verse 8. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he'll receive from the Lord, whether he's a slave or free. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, where does this leave grace? Of course, grace is there. But then, whatever good somebody does, he will receive the same of the Lord. Now, that good is not just spiritual good. That is good even to other people. Glory to God. Now, there are people, and you know, I see it all the time, who are a total contradiction of the things that they purport to believe. Because they think they can sow malice. They think they can sow ill will. They think they can sow hatred and somehow reap the opposite. And it just does not work like that. Praise the Lord. It just does not work like that. Because, you see, it says whatever good somebody does, okay, he will receive the same of the Lord. Now, there comes a time in your life when, now I was telling somebody that there is a temptation for everybody to do fake things, to be jealous, to speak ill of other people and so on. You just have to train yourself never to go there. Amen? Because when you speak something evil of somebody, it is going to come back to you. I remember, and I didn't intend to tell this story, there's somebody who, there's a certain lady in a church where I used to go, and she had such a vicious tongue. She could not stand seeing anybody happy. And she just used her tongue, and she knew where to place words, how to place them, and so on. And this is not just Lugambo. This is malicious things. Lugambo can be somebody who just can't keep quiet. Okay? But that doesn't necessarily mean that they have a bad heart. You understand? But they just don't have a... But they will never get into spiritual things if they don't learn how to keep a hold of their mouth. But that doesn't mean they have a bad, you know? Actually, the first thing that shows that somebody has started appreciating the spiritual world is the words become few. Once you see somebody who talks a lot, you know that one does not know anything about spirituality. The words become few because you start understanding. Okay, you get an answer. I don't even know why. There have been people who have come and to my office and tried to tell me certain things that the Lord has showed them. Then he tells me that this one I'm not yet ready to say it. Then I know now this one is a spiritual person. Because if you see a vision the next day, the whole world is going to know about it. So it's even going to be on Facebook. And then you wonder why you not see another one. Because God does not give it to you to put it on Facebook. Eh? Now you see, the people, they hold up a lot of things. They hold up a lot of things. And they only say them at the appropriate time. Amen? And that's one of the first lessons that, you know, the Lord teaches. You don't just say anything because you know it. Wait for an appropriate time. It can destroy lives. That's why Jesus said, every idle word that is said by sons of men, they will have to give account for it on the day of judgment. Now you think that's a joke, but it's not a joke. The idle word, you will have to give account for it on the day of judgment. Because words have impact. So if you go and speak a word that destroys somebody's esteem or destroys somebody's life or destroys somebody's marriage, or that, you are going to give account for it at some stage. Amen? That doesn't mean you want to go to heaven. But then when you go there, you have to stand and give account. Then you enter heaven. But then you have to give account. And that account means your reward. Now, so there's this lady who spoke so many terrible things about me that actually ultimately she said so many bad things about me. So many of them untrue. Not all of them, because I am not a perfect person. Eh? But let's say 95% of them untrue. Completely fabricated. And she pumped. And for some reason, I don't know why. And I got to know later on the kind of person she is. Anyhow, it caused a lot of, you know, trouble in my life. But even then, I'd learned how to keep those things away from me and guard my heart. So even when I would know it, I would keep it away at a distance. I would never let what somebody said about me affect me. Because if you do, you will never serve the Lord. You cannot. So I just let it at the side. But then, there comes a time of payback. Now, one day that lady was charged with murder, and she had not killed anybody. But she was charged with murder. And she was sent on remand to Luzira. And I knew she's not a murderer. Okay, not like that. But you see, the Bible says whoever hates his brother is like a murderer. So maybe she was. The Bible says that, doesn't it? So, somebody came and told me the story. And they told me the story. Immediately they told me the story, I knew that I had the power to forgive or not to forgive. And I'm telling you, if I had not forgiven, she was going to be, she would still be in Luzira up to now. I can guarantee you that I knew it. So they came and told me this person was charged with murder and what. And okay, the things she said about me, honestly, my heart was heavy. Eh? But I first calmed myself down and then said, no, I choose to forgive. And she was released soon after. She doesn't know that I had the power to forgive or to what. I could have said the things she said later. And in the middle of the remand, somewhere they called her back to court and somehow the evidence was not wabba, but anyhow, long story short, they released her. Yeah, now she's out, still speaking bad things about other people. Possibly me, but now I don't know. Which is good. Glory to God. Now, so whatever, knowing that whatever good anyone does, they will receive the same from the Lord. Amen? Now, I've told you this, that you train yourself. There's a friend of mine who, he really loves, for some reason, he loves a Harrier. Eh? He loved, you know, a Harrier. And I knew that when he didn't have a car. So now, then he bought a Harrier. Then guess who was the first person apart from him to drive it? Me. Because he knows that I celebrate with people who have succeeded. I have no ill will, no malice, no nothing. You understand? And I'm telling you that honestly. And I'm telling you, I'm not born like that. I trained myself to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Okay? Now that means if somebody is rejoicing, they've bought a house, rejoice with them. If somebody has lost a job, and then you say sorry and then go behind and say, it serves them right. Eh? Then you'll get the same from the Lord. You understand? Eh? So if somebody is at a time of a bad time, you share with their, you know. That's what the scripture says in, I think, Romans 13. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And what? Grieve with those who grieve. Eh? Now, so time went on, time went on. Then one day he got some very good. Every time, I know it. Every time he gets good news, the first person he calls is me. He says, man, can we have lunch? Then I know there's something good happening. Now, some of you, you cannot even stand somebody's success. But you want your own. Praise the Lord. And then, it does not work like that. I'm telling you, it does not work like that. Like, you know, okay, weep with those who weep. It does not, somehow, when you sow all these things, when you sow love, when you sow, you know, goodwill, and helping, and all those things, they rebound back to you when you need them most. I wish Christians, and this is a spiritual principle. If people understood it, they would know that. And I preached about this before, haven't I? Yes, I have. When Jesus was saying, in I think Luke 6, giving all these things, and he said, what credit is it to you? If you love only those who love you, what credit is it to you? And you see, you don't understand. You get that thing. It's in Luke 6. If you don't understand that there is a credit system in the spiritual realm. Now, if you love your child, well, there's nothing special about that. But if you love your stepchild, like your child, then you get credit in that system. Because that is not exactly what? Eh? You see, what credit? So there is a credit system. Now, there are things you do in the natural. Praying for somebody, doing this, preaching the gospel of peace, that increase your credit. And now that credit comes up as a forefront in the day of evil, where nothing bad can happen to you because you've sowed too much good. The only thing that can happen to you is good. Amen? But if you sow a lot of hatred, you'll be charged for murder when you've killed nobody. Because you've sowed too much stuff, it has to come back and bite at some stage. Amen? And now let me tell you, you look at the evil people who are not born again. They can do a lot of wickedness and get out with it. But that's because they have an eternity to pay back. But now for you, since you're going to heaven, some of those scores have to be settled here on earth. Because heaven is what? Reward. But if somebody is going to hell, he will do a lot of evil and it's okay. They will pay for it all eternity. Now, for you, you do the same thing and it comes back because You know, before we get there, some of these things are settling scores. Eh? You and us. And this is what Jesus is saying. Okay, let's go back to the other thing. But if you love, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Okay, go ahead. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that for you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back or even more. But love your enemies. Now here is how you build your credit system. When you know somebody hates you but you choose to love them, love your enemies, do good, lend hoping for nothing in return. Someone you say, are you sure? Jesus said this, not me. Eh? And your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High. For he is kind. Now let me tell you, careless words. There's a friend of mine whom I helped so much when he was starting his ministry. So much. And nobody else knew apart from me and him. And that was okay. Then one day, for some reason, I got a bit upset. And I told somebody, but that person should not have done this. Do you know what I did for them? I did ABC. As soon as I finished talking, the Lord said, now your reward has gone. That's it. Everything that you would have reaped from helping him, you've spoken it out. Trying to steal the show. Now, when you help somebody and shut up, your reward is there. Now, we were seated here having some coffee. Then I finished saying those things. And even when I was saying them deep down, I knew I shouldn't be saying this. But I was a bit rattled emotionally. And then I convinced myself that I'm only telling one person. Then I left. And then we left, we parted. As soon as I hadn't even gone 200 meters before the Lord told me, now, your reward is now potea for that. Because it was supposed to be between you and, you know? Mm. But you see, you're trying to remind somebody, I did this for you, I did. Now, that's why Jesus says, you've had your reward. You remember that story of the Pharisees going and praying on the street, eh? Or fasting so that everybody will see them, like Muslims. The only reward they are going to get is being seen. But then he says, do it away. Let it just be there. Then your father will, because there, that's when he builds credit. And now the credit comes when you need it. Praise the Lord. And it comes when you need it. I know that. I've had stories of people who, like, some everything aligns itself for you to get a job which somebody was supposed to get. And you get it. Because you had a lot of credit, there is no way that job could not what? Could not be yours. You remember what the angel told, what was it? Cornelius. That your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial to God. That somehow you've done so much good that even heaven is asking, what can we do for this man? So he's rich, he has what, but what does he want? Then they say he's not born again. And he becomes the first Gentile to receive the Lord. The first Gentile to receive the Lord. Now for you, you receive the Lord, but there's something you want. Where you've built up so much credit that God, heaven is discussing, what can we do? You know, for this guy, really, I mean, what does he want? What is he interested in? And then somehow, when you step out and show interest, your prayer and your arms are remembered in the sight of God, where you've done this thing so long that there is somehow something has to break forth. Praise the Lord. Let's go back now to whatever good you do. Now, doing good, pray and watch. Remember the woman, the Shunammite woman, who built a house for Elisha, somewhere in an upper room? Man, that's a classic example of how God manipulates circumstances, because somebody has built a lot of credit and they have to be rewarded. Elisha tells her there is going to be famine here 7 years. So move and go to another country. So she leaves and goes to another country. Now the Bible doesn't say it, but I believe her husband was dead at the time when she came back, because it says earlier he was old. But anyhow, in the 7 years, people take her land. And she comes back after 7 years and she has to go and reclaim her land. And the only way she can get it is by going to see the king. Then she goes to see the king. And you can imagine what it is like when your people are lining up to see the king. All of them looking for some justice or the other. There is a long line of people. And so at the exact time when she's about to enter and see the king, then the king calls Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, and tells him, tell me some of the miracles that Elisha did. Then Gehazi starts saying, you know, he did this, he did this. He even rose, you know, a certain woman's child who was dead. Then as Gehazi is telling the king that, the woman comes in. And then Gehazi said, here is the woman. Is it? Then the king asked her, is it true? He said, yes, she was true. The child was dead. Then he said, what did you come for? That I want my land. Then the king gave instructions and sent officers to restore her land and to restore all the produce that the people had been on the land had accumulated in the 7 years she was away. Now, do you see how, just manipulation of timing. Like, if she had come, let's say an hour before, she would just be another person standing before the king. If she had come an hour later, she would be another person. But she came at the exact time when, tell us, what did Elisha do? Elisha did this, Elisha did this. And remember, Elisha had asked her when she built, she showed him a lot of kindness. Elisha asked her, should I speak to you to the king? She said, no, I don't need anything from the king. I am okay as it is. So, but you see, when she came back after 7 years, Elisha had died. But her credit was still on the bank account. And it had to be repaid at some stage. So God just manipulates timing. And she becomes a special person amidst so many people who are coming to see the king. Just because of a manipulation of time. Now, that's how... I'm sure when she was in the line, I'm just presuming, she's thinking, I wish Elisha was still alive. He asked me if he should speak to me to the king, and I said, no, I didn't. But now I wish he was here. I would have told him now, can you speak to me for the king? But you see, Elisha is dead, but your credit system is alive. So God does it without Elisha. Praise the Lord. Now, knowing whatever good anyone does, you receive the same. Now let's go to the other one, verse 13. Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Somebody say the evil day. Having done all to stand. Now, which means some people will not stand. Having done all to what? Stand. And by the way, sometimes I fear for some people because there's a certain laxity and indifference amidst you people, which bothers me so much, where you see there is a certain level of indifference and you know you can sense it, you can feel it, but you can only talk, and after that it is up to the people to decide how they respond to what you say. But you see, somebody comes and listens and then goes, it does not linger. The word does not linger long enough in your mind to create an action, to create a change in path. So you listen to it and immediately you go, it has gone. And then again, and then again, then you see there is no change in somebody's life because nobody took a step out of the words they had. Anyhow, and having done all to stand, okay? Stand therefore, having guarded your waist with truth, praise the Lord, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, before the school term started, I said I wanted some people to come help me and we go to schools. Do you know how many people have come so far? 0 times 0. And there are people among you, and I know it, who can be of benefit. People can go to schools, create a way, and then we do it. And now, like, nobody is, you're not disinterested. Like, you come, just come and listen and go home. And there's a level of indifference, like total indifference. When it comes to giving, indifference. When it comes to, actually, you don't have now, but you can step out and go to schools and say, you know, watchman, I went to this school, I spoke to the, you know, chaplain, he says, you can come and preach on, just something like that. Nothing, but so many people here can do it. Some of you are even teachers in schools, but you cannot even do it. Now, then, if you did, it would be a preparation for the day of evil. It would be on your account system. And show up when you need it. Praise the Lord. At the time you need it most, it shows up. You have something to withdraw. Okay? But now some of you, you think in the spiritual world there is miracle where you borrow at. It is not there. If there is nothing to withdraw, there is nothing. Because you've been indifferent. And now also, by the way, there are ways you can feed your account and there are ways you can empty it. Now like that woman who was speaking evil things of me, her account was in so much negative that she had to be charged with murder when she didn't kill anybody. So you can have positive and negative. Now, you can choose, by the way, you can train yourself never to be jealous. It's a training. Don't think any of us, anybody is special, they don't get those feelings. You do, but you say, I can never go there. Never. Because I know what it does. Or speaking ill of somebody. Or you hear that I went and spoke evil things of somebody. It will never happen. I trained myself. If I have nothing good to say about you, I will shut up. And even if, like, if there's any rebuke, it is done in love. And I know when I'm deceiving myself and when I'm not. But it is done in love. Okay, go ahead, verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Now, here is where the thing comes. You know, I was, you know, Kenneth Hagin, his wife, used to see him doing the faith thing, you know, I cannot. But for her, she said, those are yours. Eh? So when she got sick, she would take drugs. Then one day she came down with cancer. And now, your husband cannot save you. Eh? Actually, even I remember, I told you that even, what's she called? Joel Osteen's father. The wife of the late John Osteen. Also, as she came down with cancer, she was given how many? A few weeks to live. I think a couple of months to live. And she's surrounded by healing generals who come in her house all the time because her father was one. So Kenneth Hagin is there. Or Roberts is there. Everybody, all the top healing generals of the time were her friends. Then God told her, none of them can save you. This is between me and you. Because this is between us. Because you should have built that faith earlier on. For, I'm not saying you're going to get cancer. But the point is that, so Kenneth Hagin's wife also now had to get off the what? And also start doing what? Believing God for healing. Because previously she gets a cold, take tabs. Eh? Kenneth Hagin says, well, those are yours. Eh? And you see now the faith thing can sometimes look very onerous. Very like a long process and what. And it's just take pills and you'll be okay. But you see now, that time when you resist that headache and it goes, but you've endured it for one full day, when you could have sent it away with tablets after 20 minutes, you are building your faith. You're building your faith. Now a time will come when, even if, I'm not saying it happens, even if they tell you have a terminal sickness, you just laugh at the doctor. Because you've been, those are yours. Like, and you know that something, and people build faith. The other day my wife was telling me about somebody whom she used to work with, who they told that her child was dead in the womb. And they show her the scan, 3D very well. I think she's actually even a medical personnel. So they show her the child is dead in the womb at 7 months. So she says, no, my child cannot be dead in the womb. Simple. So she refused. And she went home. So you know medical people can also be very, you know, incessant. So they called her husband. Your woman is carrying a corpse in the womb, in her. Come and we pull it out. It's very dangerous. What? Even the husband turned against her. She endured everybody else for 2 months. Until after 9 months, she gave birth to a live and healthy baby. Like, she just refused to believe. Now, if something like that happened to her again, she has a background. Eh? She says, I have been through this. Eh? I know. Like, she just refused to believe it. And they show you a scan very well, and there is no heartbeat. There is no nothing. Your child is dead. Then you say, no, he's not dead. Eh? Me, I don't have dead children. Me, I only have alive children. Praise the Lord. Eh? And you refuse. Now, you have to train yourself in this, starting with small things. So that if anything big comes, you are in, you know, you are in line already. But you see, the panic that some people would have who have put all their faith in medical science, if you get something which medical science has no solution for, man, you would panic. They say you have 2 weeks. By the way, Jocelyn's mother, after the Lord told her it's between me and you, she built her faith and you know what she did? She just ignored them. They had given her, I think, 2 months to live. I think she was in her late 30s. She's now 80 something. And she just forgot about it. Eh? Cancer. She just moved on. And like you see also, some people, you go and test, let me see, that's still sick. Then you go back, let me see, still sick. Like that's not faith. Eh? That's try and error. Eh? For what she just said, those are yours. Eh? Like when you get in a place of faith, you just say, those are yours. And so time comes and goes. The 2 months pass, 2 years, 20 years, I think 40 years, even more, perhaps 50 now. Anyhow, and she's still around eh? And healthy. Praise the Lord. So above all, taking the shield of faith. Eh? Now here is where you quench the darts of the enemy by just believing. And it's not just for sickness and things like that. Just believing, for instance, in your prosperity. Because it will always be challenged. You come out, you are believing something powerful, it is challenged. That's why I keep on talking about meditation. Because meditation is taking something away from just, you know, circulation into your heart where it actually matters. Eh? And then from there, you become a different person completely after that thing has sunk inside you. And now if anybody who is serious and I ask you, what are you meditating on? If there is nothing, then you're a joker. Eh? You're what? Eh. You're a joker. Because at some stage, every time, there has to be something you're meditating on. Even if it takes 3 months, this is the one thing now I'm believing for. And what? And people ask, why don't we see a change? Why don't we, we've been listening to these powerful words, at Zoe and even at the Watchman and what, but 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, no change. Because people don't know how to do one thing. This one thing I do. Eh? Now the devil is the master of presenting alternatives when he sees you about to focus. You know what I told you, mind training? Now, the day you say, now I'm going to focus on my, let's say, health. Let's say you have a health issue. Now I'm going to focus on the health. Then you bring, but what about finance? But what about marriage? But what about this? And now you're finished. You're finished. You'll get none of those. Because you have to focus on the one thing and say, until I've seen this one happen, then I will not leave it. Then he says, what about finance? I don't care about finance. I'm on health. What about marriage? I'm on health. Then he tries to swing you. And by the way, he doesn't even need the devil. Because our minds are all wired to be like that. I told you. That's the default position. So you have to force it to be in one place until you say, now, I know inside me that. And now, do you know sometimes that's it? When you've done it inside you, that's when you perhaps have a health challenge. And it has not come to do anything but other than to cement what you already know. You understand? So it comes, then you overcome it by like that. Then now you know what you should do. Then you say, now, finance. So now you start on finance. What about marriage? Ah, shut up. What about your children? What about finance? Then you pray miracle until you see a change. Amen? That's why the Bible says in James that somebody who is all over the place receives nothing of the Lord. Because just by that meditation and just staying there, you actually, anyhow, double unstable in all his ways. Go ahead. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Double-minded. You can't focus on one thing. Now, so you want to carry all of them together in one basket. It will not happen. It will not what? It will not happen. Anyhow, let's go back to. So it says, watch and pray. Now you watch by coming here and listening. That's watching. And by knowing what's happening in the news and what, the mark of the beast is coming and all that, you're watching. But if you take away the prayer, then let's first read Revelation chapter 3. Chapter 2. Revelation 2. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things says he who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. Do you know how the menorah is? You know the menorah? Eh? Yeah, that thing. One stick, then 6. Eh? So altogether there are 7 for divinity. Now God tells Moses in Exodus chapter 31 and verse 15. Don't go there. I just wanted you to know that I know where it is. Okay. That's a joke. Okay. But some of you don't even know how to laugh at jokes. Huh? Is it cold or what? Huh? Okay, amen. Okay, I'll laugh alone. Now, so Exodus, he says, heat that thing out of pure gold, the menorah, pure gold. And he says, let it not be joined at any stage. It has to be caved out of the same, So smelt the gold. Do not put one, then add these other ones, like melt them all. No. It has to be the same. So it's one, object. You understand? And those are the instructions of God. Then he tells him that, then at the end, put a candle, like a candle holder. Then put a candle there on all of them. And then the priests took turns to make sure that there was oil in there to make sure the menorah is burning every day It was supposed to be burning every day for 1,500 years, day and night. Because it's symbolic of the presence of God. Now, of course, we know later on, when Israel got away from the ways of God, they stopped that thing, and the menorah was no longer burning. And guess what happened? That's when they started losing wars and being taken captive and serving other people, paying tribute. And the God says, just keep that thing burning and you will not have to suffer all those things. Keep it burning. Now, of course, that is a physical representation of something that is spiritual in the New Testament. And priests had to take turns day and night to fill in the oil to make sure that all those six things are burning. Now, this is exactly the picture that Jesus shows here of the church. And we know that's what it's about. So there are six, whatever, and they're standing off one. Now, Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12. Jesus is called the branch. To the man who is called the branch. Behold, the man whose name is the branch. So Jesus is called the branch. So he's the main one. So there are six. Six is the number, of course, of humanity. There are six standing off it. And all of them have different mouths. Let's go back to Revelation. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, says, this thing says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, that you cannot bear those who are evil, and that you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Now when you see him there, you think that when you go up to there, you say, man, these guys are very powerful. Like Jesus has so many good things to say about them. But then he goes on to say, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Now, I want to tell you that there were times when people would be called and they take 30 years before taking up their calling, and it is somehow there. But we don't have 30 years. Amen? But we don't have 30 years. You understand? Now, Jesus said, if you do not go back to, you will come and pluck off the golden lampstands, off the tree, okay? And your branch, your angel, is cut off. And I know that there are churches like that, where you move, then at some stage you get off what you're supposed to do. Now remember, you see the character, and then he says, I will come to you quickly and just cut you off. Then when you're cut off, you might remain with the crowd and what, but you've been cut off. And you are off. And eventually some of those people, depending on how spiritual they had become, some of them actually even go and become demonic. Because they have been cut off. Remember, Paul says that we are all, you know, he's talking about Jews and saying they are the natural branches. Remember, branches speaks of fruitfulness. Okay? Because fruits don't stand on the stem. They don't stand on Jesus. Fruits stand on what? The branches. But he says, without us being connected to the stem, we cannot produce fruit. So we are the ones supposed to produce fruit. Now, Paul says that the natural branches, who are the Jews, were cut off. Why? Because they thought they were indispensable. They thought there is no God without Israel. We are the children of Abraham. And you know, even when Jesus told them that, and Jesus kept on challenging them about that. There's a time in the scriptures, he says that, do you think there were no widows in Israel in the days of Elijah? But God sent Elijah to a widow who was not even a Jew to go and save her. Then he says, you think there are no lepers in Israel in the days of Naaman? But the lepers remained, but Naaman came from Syria and came and got healed. Then he says, do not say to yourself, your children of Abraham, as if we are indispensable. God cannot do anything without us. So they are cut off, Paul says, temporarily, so that the world goes on without them. Christianity and faith goes on without, and this is not talking, this is generally speaking, but eventually they will be grafted in. But you see, he says, now if the natural branches who were them were cut off because of their unbelief, don't you think you who are unnatural branches can much easier be cut off. What would cause you to be cut off? Let's read it. John 15. Okay, let's first finish here. But let's first go to John 15. Okay, start from verse 1. I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Okay, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Praise the Lord. Now, you don't bear fruit, you take, by the now in this end time, God calls you to do something. There is no time to wait for you to linger and diddy-dally and what. He will just take, cut your branch off and put somebody else who is going to do what. Do you understand? Because the world is going to be evangelized, whether you become, if you are indifferent, God's move is not going to stand still because of you. It is not. Now, people could have been waited for so many years, but now, in our time, it will not happen. So if you remain indifferent and decide that for you, those are, you know, and you almost behave as if just coming here and listening to me is like as if it's some credit to me, as if you're doing us a favor, like God will allow you a certain time of indifference. Now, when he realizes that you've remained indifferent and you know what you're supposed to do, then he says, okay, then you'll get that same anointing and put it on somebody else, and that person will bear fruit. And now, then you become one of those people who are what? Who are haters. Because you see somebody who is bearing fruit, and you know you were supposed to be that person. And somehow you know it. Do you understand? You know it. It's almost like, let's say there's this lady, somebody comes and proposes to her, some guy, and tambaram magezi. Then he goes and gets another person, then she sees them prospering. Then she becomes bitter. Because she missed her chance. Now that's how it happens all the time. When somebody takes that anointing, when the branch is cut off, and that anointing is given to somebody else, who is willing to, and there are people who are not even called for these things. The Bible says there are eunuchs who made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom. So this person was not called to be, let's say, an apostle, a prophet. He was not called. But then there is some apostle who is cheating on cappuccino. Then God says, okay, you cheat on cappuccino. Then somebody becomes that thing. Then you see him rising up. Then the next time you look at him, somehow you see that is, because in the spirit you actually know what you were supposed to do. You understand? So you look and know that should have been me. And then you end up hating that person. And he did nothing wrong. For him, he was zealous, but there was no calling. So God said, since the person who has the calling is on a chill, let me just give it to somebody who is zealous. And he will just pass and give it to somebody else. And then this person will do all those things you were supposed to do. And you remain there on your chill. You understand, eh? And you've been cut off. Now, it says the branches that don't bear fruit are cut off. Jesus said that, not me, eh? Okay. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Now, here is the secret word. When you start, and I've told you for since this year began, start. Now, you start ministry. There is no school of ministry. If you go there, you become dead. Ministry, you learn it on the job. Amen? Everything about ministry is learned on the job. So when God says start, just start. Now then you're bearing fruit. Then he comes and starts pruning you. Now don't do this, don't do that. Now, so that you bear more fruit. But if you decide not to start because you think there is a school where they are going to give you a degree, now I have appointed you watchman. Who says? Now, when you feel this happened to me, by the way. I remember sometime I was with some guy, apostle, who was saying that they were going to somebody who was teaching end time. This was around 2008. So they said, man, this guy teaches end time. So I told them, what does he teach? So they told me the things he's teaching, and they were very elementary to what I knew already at the time. So now I became angry. But I was supposed to have started, and I was on a chill. So sometimes God will create some. Now, do you realize that man even coming and telling me this was just God trying to get me jealous? That's what the Bible says about the Jews, that he grafted in the Gentiles to get them jealous. Do you understand? So sometimes you have to push. So what did the guy teach? Then he say, man, yeah, Gambia, we know. They were telling me in Uganda that you love, we know. We have chibi. Then I said, I said, then they told me, man, come and listen to this guy. This guy can teach in time. And okay, they are telling me elementary things from where I was, but the man had at least started. Now, if I had refused to listen to that, trust me, somebody else comes and does the exact things I'm doing now and they will be successful, and then I will be somewhere miserable. Saying, those guys don't know what they are saying. Me, I know end time. What? And like, your chance has gone. You understand? You've missed your chance and does not come back. Because somebody is zealous and has started and is moving. Then God says, okay, there are so many rough edges. Now that's what's called the pruning. There are so many rough edges. So let's remove them and then you bear more fruit. Then he says, okay, now you bear. Then he prunes. Then you bear more fruit. Bear more fruit. Bear more fruit. Then, okay, that he may bear more fruit. Okay, verse 3. You're already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Now, I love this. Do you know words can make clean? Okay. Go ahead. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Now, when you understand how to guard yourself and bear fruit, and then you know that everything is done by abiding, not by visiting. Abiding means staying. Amen? It does not mean visiting. Some of you visit prayer. Then you pray one time, you feel full, then you take 2 weeks without prayer. That is not abiding. That is visiting. Okay? Now, or worship, or things like that. There is no consistency. You just visit. So, abide in me. Now, stay there. Stay there. Stay in a position where you are permanently connected. Remember what he said, watch and pray that you may be counted worthy. Now, that's the difference between the foolish and the wise virgins. The foolish virgins did not have enough oil. But all of them, remember, were Christians. All of them were waiting for the bridegroom. But some had taken their time to build up stores of these things. Now, the time of evil finds you with a lot of credit in your storehouse that nothing can shake you. What would have shaken you cannot shake you. And somehow you escape it. You escape something because you were abiding in him, and now you understand you can do nothing without him. Absolutely nothing without abiding, completely abiding in him. Now, there's a certain lesson, and I can even sense it in you people and your prayer lives. You can look and sense that somebody is going to live here, and somehow the cares of this world, something keeps you busy, then you're running after money, then you're running after this, and so many people come and they are running after money, and you tell them, don't run after money, run after God. Then they say, yeah, for you, you see you, at least you are somewhere, and what? I made those decisions when I would wake up and survive on 5,000 shillings a day. I decided that. When you see the end result, don't think somebody started somehow like that. It does not happen like that. At some stage, you have to say, now, you know, some friend of mine said that he was listening to a story of Margaret Woodward Heather, somebody like that, one of the great, you know, from the 19th century. How many have heard of her? Yes. What was she called? Maria Woodward Heather. Yeah. So, like, of the great things she did, you know, somebody, you know, great things where somebody is even buried and people go there 8 years later and they get healed. When there is nothing, they are just corpses. But you know, when somebody dwells in a place, somebody can purify a place, or can make a place evil. And man, there is evil which happens in this country of ours. But there are deep things of deep, deep evil which happen here. And you hear somebody saying it, and they say it as if there is nothing wrong with it. Like some guy even told me his grandmother is a twin and was born with a snake. And there's a python. And somehow lives in a fene tree somewhere. And she feeds it on eggs every day. And when she does not put eggs out, it comes for hens. And then she comes and says, "Babiri enagano kuliye nkoko, baby." Now, the woman is in her 80s. You know, snakes don't have a life. Their lifespan is not that big. A snake by 80 is supposed to be dead. But it's there. And the day she dies, the day it will die. Now, they have been practicing that, feeding that demon for all those years. Then let's say that person dies, and what? Then you ask, I got a piece of land somewhere in Masaka. You will go there and kusirana from there. because things have been done there. And you will wonder why, since I came here, nothing is working out. Because then somebody will stumble in a place. Now, these are the things which... Now, the other day I went, I was looking for a house to buy. Then, I walked, the broker took me. This house, I said no. This house, I said no. The other, no. The other, no. No, no. I was with my wife. So I go to a house, and man, I said, now this is it. This would be it. Now, like, our hearts got knit to the place. And I said, now even the owner of the house, the guy who built it, some Eritrean guy, liked us so much and says, man, what's your name? What? So we talk to just, so even tell the broker, where are those guys? Eh? This is supposed to be their house. Now, of course, I'm still envisioning and what. So now, Prophet Elvis says he also wants to go and get, you know. So he somehow lands on the same broker and takes him to the same house. But says, but this one, I showed it to Kableta and he liked it. Then Prophet said, hey, like what? Now, when I met him that very day, he told me, do you remember some hill he said he used to go and pray and then a cloud would come and what? Eh? That's exactly where the house is. Now, these things, now somebody lands there and you just find things are working out. What? You just landed on the right place. Now, that time of, you remember that story he said? Eh? The hill, exact same hill. So when he came, they told me that you see the house there and liked it. That's the heat I used to pray on. I said, hey, I said, now I know why I liked it. Praise the Lord. So, like, in, how did I even get there? Okay, we should be finishing soon. Eh? Bearing much fruit, eh? Glory to God. Eh? Bearing much what? Much fruit. And abide in me. You have to learn. If you understand the secret of knowing entirely inside you that without him you can do nothing. Eh? There is saying it, but there is believing it and knowing it. Do you understand? Eh? Then you understand how to abide in him always and not do, now like these people in ministry, where you don't just do things anyhow. You ask him, you ask of him, and you abide in him. Yesterday I was talking to somebody, of our group of, you know, men of God. Then I was saying, how can you imagine Jesus had to fulfill hundreds of scriptures about him in just 3.5 years on earth? So now, how do you do that? By being in the spirit. Remember Jesus, don't forget the God thing. He was man. Everything he did here, he did it as a man led by the Holy Spirit, just like you. Amen? But he had to be in the spirit every minute of every day to fulfill all those scriptures. If he had missed one of them, he would not qualify to be the Messiah. Now, then he says, he wakes up one day, people are all over him, then he goes somewhere to hide himself. Then he goes there, then some people find him. Some lepers. Then it says that it may be fulfilled what was written by the prophet, that the region of Tyre and Sidon, Galilee of the Gentiles, a great light has come. The man just went to hide himself. But even that fulfills scripture. Then he goes here, it fulfills, you understand? Eh? So you have to be in the spirit. So when I told it to this person, man said, that man, that's powerful. That's powerful. The thing that, okay, you probably will not get 100% like him, but the point is, at least you be in the spirit as much as possible. You don't just do things. Somebody says, we are going to do this, you jump on it. Now we are going to do this, you jump on it. And you miss all your life, you're jumping on things, which, and now it actually says the same thing in, you know that scripture which says, here I am in the volume of books it is written about me, to do your will, O Lord. That's what? Where is it? Glory to God. Behold, I come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O God, and your law is within my heart. Now this is speaking about Jesus, that time. Here I come, in the volume of the scroll, the whole Old Testament, about me, to do your will. But then, it doesn't stop with Jesus. Now, if you go to Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians 2, 10. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking a path which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. So in the scroll of the book, it's not just written about Jesus. It's also written about Kableta. that at this stage you are supposed to be here, at this stage you are supposed to be here. Now, there is a path, a clear path which you are supposed to take all your life. And it was written before. Psalms 139 said, you knew the, you know, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. Eh? Psalms 139. So you see here, there is a path which is clear cut. Now, just as Jesus had to, he wakes up, goes here, he's in his path, he's in his path. Now also you, there is a path for you. Praise the Lord. And it was written beforehand, and you were prearranged to walk in it, and it was prepared for you. Now it is up to your will. It is up to you to seek that path and then walk in it. Otherwise, you're blown apart. Somebody says, to handicap business, see, to college, says, yeah, that's a good idea. Then 6 months down the road, the business flops. Then someone comes and says, then those are to get into Dubai. Now they were here, then that one also flops. Then you what? Then you spend all your life like this, moving left, right, center, and achieving zero fruit. Because you don't yet know that without him you can do nothing. You don't yet know how to abide in him and how to keep in prayer. And now without prayer, don't fool yourself. Everything becomes dry. Amen? That's why you see certain, you know, ministries, eh? Sending people like here to come and spy on us and what. Then you know they were cut off. Because how can I spy on anybody? Imagine if I called Abraham and go and say, now go and spy on those guys. The guy would say, now this guy has lost it. And I would have lost it. Like, what business is that of mine? So somebody comes here, then, you know, yeah. There was some guy who came here in the choir, and he just came to mess us up. And he would go and tell all the choir members, ah, you can't sing. But he would tell them separately. So the choir shrunk and shrunk and shrunk. But somehow these people are discovered. And they think we don't know. And sometimes you suffer them a little, but you know, and you know where he came from. Now, if you, without prayer, like, don't deceive yourself. You become, now I come here and preach. So I preach. Then I'm not spending time with the Lord. I'm telling you, it won't take even a few weeks before you start sensing this guy is now dry. He's still. Then you start saying, but I don't know, why are people not coming? Then you Facebook, over what? Twitter, we should put up our what? You're dry. Praise the Lord. And that's how it happens. Then you start what? Well, if you're dry, you're dry. And once, and it does not take long. I'll give you an example. You see these guys who are mugged guys, bodybuilders. Like, you know, guys who take a six-pack and what? Let him take a month without going to the gym. You start looking like me. Like, you say, just because you got it, does not mean you're going to, you have to sustain it the same way you got it. You understand? So if he's going to stay like that, he has to stay tuned to what brought him to that place. Amen? So if something like a ministry like this is out of the will of God, listening to God, starting, praying constantly, abiding in the will of God constantly, then it does not take very, very long for the downsides to start. It's like a plane. When the engines turn off, how long does it take to come down? That's how it works. So don't deceive yourself, all of you, now. You have to have serious prayer lives. Don't think that just knowing there's going to be a mark of the beast and what will prepare you for it. Jesus told his disciples, watch and pray that you will be found worthy to escape all those things. Now you watch, you have to pray. Amen? You watch, you have to pray. Say, watch and pray. Don't just watch. Some of you go and watch the news. Now, can you imagine what they are doing? Eh? They are doing this and what? And you think that's enough? No, you have to pray. And make a constant, persistent prayer life. Okay? And also a prayer life that does not, where it's not just petition prayer. Some of you cannot pray unless you're asking for something. You understand? You have to be fighting somebody and what? And I know some men of God who are like that. By the way, I avoid them like the plague. Because, like, your prayer is always fighting. This person, we're fighting. Then you stay in that level. Now, let me tell you, I once was like that. Then I started moving away from that. And my prayer became intimate prayer. And I don't know how it happened. I think it was just associating with Prophet Elvis. Eventually, I changed the way I started praying. And I started praying in a way where there is nobody fighting me. I am just loving my Lord. And I'm just, you know, praying to him, telling him how much he means to me and so on. And then sometimes he would even tell me himself to pray for somebody. And then you pray where there is, man, then it became, now, what was once a very like a task. You understand? I would actually be somewhere taking coffee, and I'm looking forward to going home to just go for that time. And I had my car placed in my compound where I would put my a chair. And then I just sit there. He knows it. He has ever been there. Now, when I started that, I started dreaming. I would dream, and some of you are having these dreams now. When I'm flying. How many of you have had those dreams? Now, you see, if you listen to those Bikutule pastor, they will tell you that those are what? That is witchcraft. But no, actually, it is your spirit soaring. Now, when I started having those, I would dream when I'm walking on the ground, then I see people who have come like to attack me, and I just fly. And I fly in the air. Then in one of those dreams, I was flying high. Then, maybe I wasn't abiding as much. I came just a bit low, and I was seeing there was this thing down, like looking up for me. Then when I came a bit low, it jumped up and held my finger like this, as if trying to pull me down, but I broke free from it and flew up. I actually woke up with my finger feeling real, like somebody attached it. Now, that was my spirit man soaring above all that thing of chikutule, chikorechi, you know those things, because I had changed my way of prayer. Now, I had been praying like that, and the devil keeps you in that battle zone where you're fighting. It's like you're playing with a pig in mud. So, you're there, and now there are so many churches which are built on the foundation of that. Like, if you even told them this, they would be irritated. Now, when I started, the dreams of flying stopped, then now the attacks zero, like nothing. Like, you're above them, you live in a place so far above. And some of you are having those dreams. If you haven't yet, then either you are where I am or you're still in the battleground. You're still fighting with a pig in mud. But how many of you have had those dreams? Yes. So now if you continue having them continuously, means you're soaring. Then you will see things which used to say that now these people come, some man comes and has sex with me at night. You know you're still there. You can soar to a place where nobody can come and do that, honestly. Where certain attacks which attack other people cannot attack you. Somebody says something about you and you're hammered. No, you go above that. And now you're dwelling in a certain place where you're just there busy worshipping God. You're in a world of your own. And now when that started, it started reflecting even in my actual world, in my finances and in so many things. Because now I'd moved away from, a certain place where somebody cast you, somebody. Now you try and cast me and see. Like it does not work. It does not. Now, I'm telling you this for the purpose of you knowing that you can come out of that world and soar high. And your dreams, for the most part, will tell you that now you've reached a certain area where, like, the demons first are there looking, waiting for you to come down a bit, where you're within reach. Now, after that time when they pinched my finger, I realized that now I'm not going to come back down again. So I stayed in that place and I even stopped having the dreams. Because the dreams talk of a change. You understand? When you're now there, the dreams stop. Did you know that? Okay. Let me tell it to you, just so that you know. If, let's say, you enter... You go into a certain church. I've told you this before. You enter a certain church and let's say a fake place. You don't want to be there. You'll start dreaming fake things about that place. But if you decide to be there and stay there, you stop dreaming. Because now you've moved away from decision stage. Now you've made up your mind. And remember, everything in eternity is based on what? Your decision. People are going to heaven or hell based on their decision. Not God, their decision. And the one thing God can never violate is your decision. He gave it to you. Why does he put a tree of the knowledge of good and evil and tell you not to eat it? Why doesn't he just not put it there? Decision. So he gives it to you. He does not protect it. He says, don't eat it. But he has put it there. Now decide. Do you want to obey God or obey? Now, everything based on your decision. Is he going to come and stop you when he sees you about to eat? No, stop. No. If you've decided, you eat. Now, that's even now some of you in marriage. You decide, this guy, I don't know. There's this guy whom they told me is the will of God, but he's a bit boring.
Like he does, even his perfume is not good. He does not have a good cologne. And now there's this guy who is not even born again. But man, the guy is suave. You know, he looks nice in the suit. When he puts on a suit, he looks as nice as the watchman. You know,
that was just to wake you up. Eh? Now, now, when you're still in decision stage, you'll actually make, you start dreaming. Like if you put yourself in that stage where, decision stage, you'll get dreams, which will probably tell you the other guy is fake, even if he looks nice in what? In a suit. Eh? Now, if you make up your mind you're going with him and you go with him, this dream stop. Because now your mind is made up. The dreams were there to aid your decision. Now, when your decision is made, the dreams vanish. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, some of you are asking for guidance, yet your mind is made up and you're not going to dream anything. You'll actually end up dreaming what your mind has made up. Eh? That's how people come and say, man, you know, that's my man. Even I dreamt about him. I've dreamt about him so many times. The other day I dreamt when we were walking down the aisle. But now he's dating another girl. Let me tell you. There are so many dreams from the subconscious. If I was single and I saw a girl and I loved her so much and I fantasized about her, I would dream about her. And then I would say, even God said, God did not say. I fantasized and dreamt. You understand? Eh? So you have to distinguish between, there's lots of soulish realm dreams, eh? Where people come with dreams and you just see that's the soul. The soul, there is no spirit. You understand? Eh? If I dreamt about, if I started seeing anything, let's say a car, and I, man, every time I see it and what, I'll start dreaming when I'm driving it. But I put myself there. You understand? Eh? Now, if it's a car, I can get it by doing that because it does not have a decision of its own. But if it's a man or a woman, God gave them the decision. So even if you fantasize how, if the person does not like you, it will not happen. Because it's not a house or a car. A house or a car, if you fantasize and meditative envision, you will get it. Because it's just an object. Amen? So instead of fantasizing, take her out to dinner. And matiza, eh? You know, basic things. Like, do you know, you never find... now, me, I sit and listen to people who come to me. You never see a girl saying that, man, I like that man. I wish I would get married to him. They will say, the Lord said what? Man. At least men say, man, she's beautiful. And now that is sincere and honest. Why do you bring God in your soulish things? But a woman will always add God. Then what? Then she will, what? Man, then she would come up with all these dreams. The other day we were walking in the rain. Then I'm the only one who had an umbrella. Then he came and stood under my umbrella and we walked. Then they said, what do you think that dream means? And I just see soul. Soulish realm, kabisa. Praise the Lord. So, man, by the way, it is okay for a lady to say, I wish I would get married to him. There is nothing wrong with that. Don't add God when God is not there. And man, we listen to these things all the time. And you know you have to keep a nice face. Eh? Then you listen to the dream. Yet even before the dream started, you knew this is soul. Glory to God. You come, dear lady from what? Change, where? First, come in front. Yes, you. Mm. Okay, now this, what's your name? Christine, eh? Your fellowship is where?
In Retera.
Where is that?
In Fort Poto.
Fort Poto, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, this one is like a mini watchman in Fort Poto. Eh? So now we are going to pray for her that the anointing, she started a fellowship there. How big is it now?
It's in between 16 and 15.
16 and 15, eh?
Yeah.
Okay, that's wonderful. Glory to God. So let's pray for her. In the name of Jesus, Father, commission Christine, and I decree that this anointing follows her in Jesus' name, and she grows in her prophetic ministry in the name of Jesus, and she sees success and changes lives and gives a good gospel. In the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Okay. There's somebody some years ago, had a dream in which the Lord told them. This is not prophetic. The person told me, so I'm not speaking it prophetically. The Lord told you that, I think in the dream you saw yourself prophesying, but somehow I was involved. And the Lord told you that if you can learn the word as much as me, then your prophetic gift will rise up, because it's actually a prophet. But you wanted, your prophetic was hinged. God used me in the dream to show you as, who is that person? The person has forgotten, because I sense you're here. This is what the Lord is telling me. It is long time ago. Like, I'm sure, definitely, like probably 4 or 5 years ago. Okay. Now, when I saw you, I saw that your work life is going to, become very fruitful.
Amen.
Because it hasn't been, exactly. But now, you're going to see, an increase in, you're working.
Amen.
By working, I mean job and stuff like that.
Amen.
Rishi Kabrazantalabakorobosintalabasin Rikamrazantoroshirabrazantarabash. And the Lord is telling me to pray for anyone who has been having frustrations with work, with job. You just stand up. Frustrations, you're moving from here to here, nothing is working out. You do work, you're not paid, and things like those. Just stand up. How old are you?
I'm 28.
Yeah, because I'm also seeing something to do with romance. Okay, right. Okay, now let me get the name. Okay, Risha Karamazan Telebe Kuro Sokoro Sima Shedem Razan Talabasha. Rikam. Sikrama. Hold my hand. Riko Ramashella Sitor Mosika Gemoshokorum Ramazan Talabakarabasha, Robazan Talabasha Razin, Roko Krozon Torvisha Razin Talabasha, Rikam Razon Tormashikilaza Torvisha. Okay, I'm not seeing the name, but I'm seeing how you met. And let's not get into that, okay? But something good is, something's moving, something's changing. But also finance, key thing that I saw when I saw you there is your financial life. And an increase in it.
Amen.
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 Okay, now. In the name of Jesus. What's your... Okay. Now, all of you have frustrations. The Lord is telling me to pray for you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And now you see a difference in this month of June. By the end of June. In the name of Jesus. Now, somebody, you are vanjaring. Somebody, I'm seeing a figure of 23 million, and it means a lot to you. Okay, now, the payment comes very fast in the name of Jesus. Actually, I release it in Jesus' name. I release it in Jesus' name, and now I'm seeing some of you having issues with partnership, people with whom you partner in the name of Jesus. People with whom you partner, and they have really messed you up. You come forward if you're such a person. If you have a partner in business who has really messed you up, you just come forward. Who of you is in printing? Printing, whatever. Who is in printing? What do you do? And have you had the frustrations?
Yes, yes.
So what took you so long?
No, I thought you were calling someone else in printing, not with frustration.
Okay. Okay. Now, in the name of Jesus, you are vanjaring somebody money. Somebody owes you money. No, like, are you?
I'm working with someone, but they have not yet... returned back the property that we
are you
sent
in partnership
for.
Or working for them?
No, they're working for me.
They're working for you?
Yes.
Who is in partnership? You, what do you do?
Construction.
Okay, but I think this is the lady actually whom I wanted to whatever, but she took long to come. And do you speak in tongues? Do you speak in tongues? Do you speak
yes,
in tongues?
Yes,
okay,
I'm
speak
learning.
In tongues. Rikamazan Tarabashok, Rasi Tolomokas, Ramarasin, Tarabashik, 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 I'm seeing a name starting with H. Do you, Henry, something like that?
Sorry?
Do you know somebody called it's Henry Yeta or Henry or something? I'm seeing. Who do you work for?
I work with Simba Bet.
You work for or you have.
I work
or you
for.
Contract?
For.
Eh?
For.
So what is your issue?
Frustration at work.
Where they don't pay you?
They don't pay and the company is closing.
That's the one on the other Garden City?
Yes, yes.
Rico Morazanta, you should not be working in that. Okay, you come and... did you study something to do with accountancy or something like that? Or
no.
What did you study?
I did social sciences.
But okay, let me give you another job out of that place.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'm seeing you actually in an NGO.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I'm sure, have you applied for something along that line? Or
yes, I've tried applying.
I'm seeing you in an NGO.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Something to do with children.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Is that what you applied for?
I've applied in many places. I don't even remember.
You don't even remember?
Yes, but I love to work with children.
Okay. Mm. You love children. Mm. So you're working an NGO, which is dealing with children.
Amen.
And by the end of July,
amen,
you'll have that job.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
What's your name?
Winifred Tushabe.
Okay. Rich Sika Barazito Moshireke Mazantalabakara Ziro Moshida. You don't have anybody like either Henry, Henrietta, I don't know, but you can't think of anybody whose name is
Henry. Maybe I met of recent some long time friend called Henry.
What does he do?
It has been a long time. I didn't even ask. We just bumped into each other.
I don't know why that name is very prominent. Maybe it has going to have something to do with where you're going. Eh? Rika Mazantalawa Shukuru. It might be Henry or Henrietta. I just picked that small bit. Rama Santalabashiko. And you receive your job.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. And they have not paid you.
Contract, the partnership and the other guy is kind of frustrating. We're not concluding on things that we're supposed to. Yeah, like the
is
company.
Is it your own company?
We partnership 50-50.
With who?
It's called Derek. And like almost, we're not closing up on finalizing the documents. Yeah, like we're almost 95% done and he's kind of not responding. And
he's trying to cheat you, now, but you're going to take over the company,
Amen.
But he's trying to actually to, like, mess you up, Okay, now in the name of Jesus, Father, what's your name?
I'm Franco.
Frank. Okay, in the name of Jesus, Frank winds up on top,
Amen.
In Jesus' name. And every attempt to steal what they started fails.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Now you end up a singular owner.
Amen.
Of it.
Amen.
Now when you're a singular owner of it in the name of Jesus. Now I'm seeing as if even your partner does not believe in the anointings you believe in.
No.
And you're having issues along those lines.
Yeah.
He does not believe in this whole remnant thing and so on. Now you're going to take control and actually take it away from him.
Amen.
And it will be without any struggle.
Amen.
And now you own it yourself.
Amen.
Don't enter into a partnership with somebody.
Amen.
Because, okay. Now how old are you?
I'm 33.
But there are people younger than you depend on you and who look up to you and so on. I'm seeing as if you're some kind of provider for siblings and so on.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yes.
And you have been for so long.
Yeah.
Now God is blessing you.
Amen.
For that reason.
Amen.
For their benefit and yours too.
Amen.
And you become a dominant person in that area.
Amen.
Now when you separate from that person who does not think like you.
Amen.
I'm hearing like Abraham and Lot. Now when you separate from your Lot.
Yeah.
Amen. You will see, look left, right, center and what. And
Amen.
You get deals.
Amen.
Construction deals.
Amen.
Which are beyond you.
Amen.
Which you will think are beyond you.
Amen.
But the Lord will have placed you there.
Hallelujah.
And then, you will, glory to God. Now I see as if then you'll have somebody who will be like, almost like a partner, but much beneath you, who is in the architectural business. So
Amen.
That you take control of that whole construction thing.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, go and receive your monies. Go and receive your monies in Jesus' name. Also you, So, okay. Glory to God. Caleb, you were supposed to come here, but you jammed. Eh? And you also have the issues which I spoke about, but you jammed to come. Hmm? Actually, when I saw you is when I remembered that. Huh? Don't you have frustrations at your workplace?
Yes.
Aren't you in printing?
Yes.
Now you see this guy. Huh? Actually, when I saw you is when I remembered this guy. Because you tell me your stories and I know you're in printing. Okay. Okay, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because I clear the way for Caleb.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
To exercise total, complete dominion.
Amen.
In his area of dominion.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And now even those people who are supposed to pay you money for work you've done,
Amen.
It comes speedily in the
Amen.
Name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, there's something else I've seen about you, but I'll tell it to you privately. Okay, let's pray. In Jesus' name, Father, I speak a blessing upon each and every person who connects. Now I pray in the name of Jesus that we shall not be indifferent, that we shall not be unmoved by the time in which we live, but that we shall be moved by it, that we shall know what we ought to do, and we shall do it. Father, I pray that let no branch that is here be cut off. Let every branch that is here bear fruit, and let those who are held by fear from starting, in the name of Jesus, may they start and start bearing fruit, and then shall they be pruned and bear more fruit. Fruit in business, fruit in ministry, fruit in jobs, workplaces, in the name of Jesus, that they shall step out and do what is in their heart to do, which is of you, O Father. And then in the name of Jesus, they shall start to bear fruit. Now I thank you, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, because these people shall be known for fruitfulness. Say amen. Say, I shall be known for fruitfulness. In everything I put my hand, I shall be fruitful. Say, I shall be fruitful. Say, I am fruitful. Say, I am fruitful. Say, my branch shall not be cut off. My branch shall be pruned that I bear more fruit and more fruit and more fruit. And now I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that even those who are in business, in workplaces, that they know they can do nothing without you. Because I know there are those who listen to this and say, no, that's for ministry. It is not for ministry only. It is for every endeavor in which you set yourself. Because dominion will come that way. Now, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak a blessing. I please speak a multiplication. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780-292-555 or +256-755-292-555. The Watchman, the King, is coming.